us today at Living Waters Church here in Casa Grande. We're so happy to have you here. And we're all still recovering from our Thanksgiving meal. I'm pretty excited, though. I've already accomplished my goal for the holidays of gaining at least 5 pounds. So I'm ahead of schedule on that one. But no, I'm really happy that everybody's here. And we had that great opportunity to spend time with our family and give thanks. And it's kind of what I wrote about today, is giving thanks to the Lord and praising the Lord. So I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so happy you can join us over the Facebook. So I went ahead, and as I was thinking of a message today, I believe I was affected a little bit by Thanksgiving, and just thinking about Thanksgiving, and I interpret that as being praise, right? Thanking someone and praising someone. So the title that I put to this message was The Power and Purpose of Praise. So it's actually a calling to magnify the Lord that we do, right? So we know that in this time our hearts are filled with joy and gratitude. We have the opportunity and the honor to be able to praise the Lord God and the precious Savior Jesus. The topic of praise, it's essential to our Christian walk. It's not merely an expression of gratitude or a ceremonial act, as sometimes you might see people do it, you know, and it even talks about that in the Bible, as we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sometimes we're accused of praying just as a ceremonial and praising as a ceremonial act. But it should be a vibrant response, just a real-life response to the miraculous work of Jesus and of the Creator. So as we talk about the power and purpose of praise, I ask that we have open hearts and be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and seek an even closer walk with the Lord. So before I get into the actual message, I just want to go ahead and take a moment to pray for the anointing and for the Holy Spirit's presence in this room. I know that He's here with us. And I just pray for the anointing, Lord, of the words that I present. They're not my words. It's just a speech. Without Your presence, Lord, and without Your power and Your anointing. And I just ask that You allow me to deliver these words, that You would have them be delivered. And I ask that You anoint the hearing and the ears and the understanding of anyone that's listening to the message, Lord, so that in all things You be praised and You be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. I had some of my technical difficulties taken care of. I just decided not to worry about the laptop, and I'm on my little, whatever this thing is, iPad. It's remote, so I'm using hers. And also, I'm hoping that you can hear me better. I decided to try to use this microphone, but now I don't know what to do with my hands, so I can't win. I'll get it down eventually. But as you might know, Pastor Halsey is still on visitation. She got an opportunity to go and visit her family in Texas over the Thanksgiving holidays, and so she will definitely be back next week. But she asked that I go ahead and fill in today and bring the message. And so I said, sure, I'd love to do that. It's my honor. So I'd like to look at things as what I call 5 ways to think about praise. So first way is we want to understand praise. It's helpful to understand praise as a melody. And that's what we were just doing, really, right? Our songs, the melody of praise. But if you define what praise is in the biblical context, I looked it up, and I thought, I'm going to get some better words than I can think of. So I looked up in the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, and that describes praise as a vocation of praise. Praising God is God-appointed calling. It says that God has formed for Himself a people that they may proclaim my, you know, it's God's words, proclaim my praise. That's in Isaiah 43:21. God's actions, such as Israel's restoration from exile, are to result in God's righteousness and praise springing up for all nations, again in Isaiah. And then God also predestined the church to the praise of His glorious grace. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, the future vocation of the redeemed in glory is to sing praise to God and the Lamb. So as I was thinking about that, future vocation, what does that mean? It just kind of zipped by me there at first, and I'm thinking, so vocation is a job, right? You know what it is? Because you have a vocation. My hobby would be an avocation. But here it says, the future vocation of the redeemed in glory is to sing praise to God and to the Lamb. So in glory means in heaven. Well, how about that? We thought we were just going to retire and go to heaven, but we have a job. when we get to heaven, our job will be praising and singing praise to the Lord and to the Savior. What a glorious way to think about that. I look forward to it. We also want to recognize praise as an act of humility and surrender. Commentator Jerry G. Wood shared in one of his commentaries, he referenced Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It encapsulates the very essence of surrendering and trusting God in His wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Well, these verses kind of take in and serve as a guide or a compass to us, guiding us towards the blessings found through surrender, as we surrender to the Lord. And surrendering requires trust. And that's a trust that goes beyond what we can comprehend. It is really an invitation to give up control and place our faith in the One who knows us from the beginning to the end. As we surrender, we acknowledge that God's ways surpass our own, and His plans are for us that are far greater than what we can fathom. And I think about that, and I'm thinking about surrender. Of course I surrender. Or do I? Do I hold something back? Sometimes it's hard, it's scary to surrender, to let go. And I talked a little bit about that last week, that, you know, it's like the daredevil pushing the wheelbarrow. You know, it's a little, I can believe you, but if I have to get in the wheelbarrow, maybe it's a different story. I'm holding something back, but we want to get all in with the Lord and really examine ourselves. As I try to do, and I know it is hard. I try to just totally surrender. What is it that you have for me, Lord? And, you know, and I sometimes think of the rich young ruler that came to the Lord and said, you know, what can I do to follow you? And in essence, the Lord says, well, I want you to follow me and give up all your riches and follow me. It was too much for him. He didn't want to surrender everything. But that was a glorious offer that the Lord gave to him, if you think about it. There's not that many people that he specifically, when he was on earth, invited to follow him and be part of his group and travel with him and do that. So what did the rich young ruler passed up just because he didn't want to give up his earthly things? He passed up this great and glorious relationship with the Lord. And I don't want that to be us, so I don't want that to be me. I don't want to hold back that one little thing. And I constantly go through that in my mind. Let me surrender. Show me how to surrender. But anyway, the next thing we'd like to look at is examining the inherent connection between praise and worship. And I read an interesting article in Share Faith magazine. The writer, her name was Kay Winkler, she defines this connection between praise and worship. And she suggests that praise is about God and worship is to God. So praise is about God and worship is to God. So praise is opening up and worship is entering in. Praise is boldly declaring and worship is humbly bowing in the presence of the Holy God. Praise applauds what God has done, and worship is honoring God for who He is. Now, I think it's really interesting to have that distinction, and I like that distinction. It just helps me understand, you know, kind of my relationship with the Lord, but those two things go together so well. So I don't know if you can really distinguish praise from worship. It's connected together, but I do know that once you start praising, then it's easy to start worshiping. And as I said many times before, at least to myself and my family, you know, I worry about things. I shouldn't worry about things. But I know that once I start praising the Lord, my worry stops, because it's almost impossible to praise and to worry at the same time. So it's like people say, you can't, what is it, like you know, try to rub your belly and hit your hand at the same time. You know, it's impossible. They count each other out. But I did see some other things that I thought was interesting I'd share with you. The English word for worship comes from several Old English words. Now, one of them is almost like what it sounds here, but it's weorth, W-E-O-R-T-H, which simply means worth, and then sipe, or ship. So that means the quality or condition. So worship is the quality of having worth. So we know that whatever we devote our time to and our energy to is what we worship. And when we worship, we are ascribing worth to Him and proclaiming that He alone is worthy, just like our song says. Worship is not always quiet or contemplative. It can be. You can worship anywhere at any time. You can worship at your desk, at work. You can worship as you drive. But it doesn't always have to be quiet and contemplative. You can sing. You can dance, clap, and speak. You can whisper or shout, just acknowledging how awesome God is for who He is. And worship should be reserved exclusively for Him. When we do worship, we want to worship Him. And give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in beauty, in His beauty of holiness. Psalms 29:2. So I think about that as, you know, you could do it anywhere. Now, you might not want to drive down the road screaming and shouting and banging. People think you're a rock and roller, but that's, hey, if that's what God moves you to do, He's worthy of it. So, but we want to praise God for what He has done. That's the praise. And this leads to us praising Him for who He is. You know, I was able to look up and find several different words because I really started getting into this thought of praise. How can I understand what that is? So I listed several words that I thought were interesting. So I may pronounce them incorrectly. I don't know. But I tried to look them up and make sure I had them right. So Barak, B-A-R-A-K, means to kneel and bless God as an act of adoration. It implies a continual consciousness giving place to God, that we're attuned to His presence, as mentioned in Psalms 95:6. And does that mean we have to always do that? No, but that is one of the things that praise includes, is kneeling before the Lord. You know, not too long ago, I'm getting up there in years now, and I'm privileged that I was raised in a Christian family and brought up in the church. I've always praised the Lord, and I've always thought it was a good thing to come and kneel at the altar or to kneel wherever. But I wasn't consistent in that. And it hit me about, oh, I don't know, it might have been 5, 10 years ago, pretty late in my life, that why am I not consistent with that? I mean, that's such a simple thing that I can do. You know, I can kneel before the Lord. I mean, I won't mention it, but there are other religions that don't even serve the Lord, and they're very, very disciplined to kneel before who they think is God. So I would suggest that that is a great and wonderful thing to add to your prayer life. You may already be way ahead of me, but for the last number of years, I've made it a point to not let a day go by without kneeling before the Lord and praising Him and worshiping Him for who He is. And so that's where I thought that particular word meant something to me. Another one is yada, or to throw out, to worship with the extended hand. We do that. We do that in Church of God, right? We do that in a lot of Pentecostal churches, and even other churches will raise their hands, but sometimes we feel maybe a little self-conscious, but that's a form of praise, and that's a form of us surrendering to the Lord. Another word that I thought was interesting is karar, which is to dance. I didn't see any of us dancing, but that's okay. We don't have to do all... You know, what stands out to me when I was reading that and I was kind of thinking about that, and I know it's kind of odd to think of people dancing in the church. I remember one time when I was a little kid, this is one of my earliest memories. I had to be maybe 5 or 6 years old, and we were at church, and it was, I remember it was a big move of the Spirit, and the people were really praising the Lord. Then all of a sudden, my little grandma sitting next to me, very quiet, calm little grandma, jumps up praising the Lord and takes off running. And she's running around behind the pews and coming back just praising the Lord. And that really stood out to me. But you know what? When that's an authentic move of the Spirit, that is a wonderful sign. And that's a wonderful thing to do. Show the Lord. Break out of your comfort zone. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to praise You with everything I have. And that's always a nice thing. And I never really thought much about... You know, you hear people talk about interpretive dance. And I thought, okay, yeah, that's kind of silly. You know, people do interpretive dance. But I changed my tune on that when my oldest daughter, when she was about 4 or 5. And we were playing some music, and there was some Christian music that we were playing. And then she just started kind of dancing like children do. But it looked so much in tune with the music, and it made me really think, you know what, that is a beautiful thing and a beautiful way to praise the Lord. Just give all to Him and praise Him. All right. Another word we have is Hallel. Can you guess what that's for? What is that? It's the root of Hallelujah. Hallel. Hallelujah. It means to rave about, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish even. That's how they described it. It's the literal translation is to spin like a top. Ah. We get close. One day maybe I can have that I think I got to surrender, right? I got to give it up because I'm a little self-conscious, but I would love to be able to do that. Another word that's interesting that brings us in mind of praise is shabak, which simply means a shout or command or to address one in a loud tone. And that is praise. We just praise to the Lord, telling them. It's our witness to others. We're telling them the Lord is worthy of praise. And then Todah, or they pronounced it also, they spelled it Todah, so I'm not sure which one it is, T-O-W-D-A or T-O-D-A-H. But it's the same as Yada, but it literally means extension of the hand, so it's twice that it mentioned that. And then another one is Zamar. So I thought this was really interesting because we didn't get to have it today because we haven't had our guitar player, but it means to touch strings and play an instrument. To play an instrument in worship. When I think of that, I think of David when he used to play on his stringed instrument and praise the Lord. And what a mighty prayer life he had. What a great example he is of how to really enter into that prayer union with the Lord. And finally, I have Talila. It's to sing spontaneous, extemporaneous songs. This is the praise described by John in Revelation. So just, it's singing. But it's just when you're so much, you're praising the Lord and you're just communing with the Lord. And then you just allow yourself to start singing melodies. And don't have to be words. Sometimes it's just the audible notes and the tones that are pleasing to the Lord. And that's a great way to get to it. And a few times I've been able to come to that situation, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, I don't really want to hear myself sing, but I think the Lord appreciates it as praise. So that's what it's meant to be. But all right. So then, for the second way to think about praise, is that it has a transformative power. So a God-centeredness is the key to experience that praise. So if we're going to praise, which we do, but we want to make sure. You don't want to just go through the words and sing through the words. You want to actually think of it. It's a difference. If I'm driving in the car and I hear a praise song, maybe I'm singing along with it. Well, I'm not really thinking about anything. I'm just singing along with it. And that's praise. But if I can do a God-centered praise, you know, maybe when I'm by myself, maybe when we're here at church, and we're singing a song, are we putting God at the center of that? That's such a pure form of praise for Him. And praise, as we know, is a spiritual weapon against the forces of darkness. And this is something I've been, we're coming to the end times, and I've been told that for 60 years. And it has been true every time. Each day that goes by, we're that much closer to the return of our Lord and whatever His plan is that He has for us. But we're going to be attacked more and more in these times. And so anything I can have that's going to give me that another shield or another weapon against the forces of darkness, I would like to have that. And that's what praise is. And as a kind of an example of that, I was thinking of several different Bible characters, people, men in the Bible, that really illustrated the life impact of praise. And one would be David, as we mentioned before. Can you imagine to be known throughout the last thousands of years as a man that's after God's own heart? What a compliment that is. What does that mean? I mean, if we could only be known for that. If I could be known as a man after God's own heart, that would be enough for me. I need nothing else. I would try to get to that. You know, Paul and Silas, we know what happened there. They're singing and praising, and their chains fell off. Right? That was a weapon. That was a warfare that they were going through. They were bound by the enemy. And they're singing and they're praising, break free the chains. And then another one I found that I thought I would mention would be Jehoshaphat. Remember Jehoshaphat. So he's the king that he conquered through praise. Jehoshaphat found himself facing an enormous challenge. Several or many of the enemies of God's people joined forces to fight against the kingdom of Judah. It was a massive army that far outnumbered the forces that Jehoshaphat could command to come against them. There was really no hope. I mean, it was over. But he turned back to the Lord and cried out to the Lord and praised and prayed to the Lord and for the deliverance. And in 2 Chronicles 20 through 22, it gives a beautiful outline of what happened. So 2 Chronicles 20, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as he went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe the prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing the praise, the Lord set up ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which will come against Judah, and they were smitten. Wow, that's a pretty quick little synopsis, but that's a beautiful thing. They were outnumbered. There's no physical possible way they could win. But he sent praise out to the Lord and sent his musicians and his singers out before them. They went into battle praising, and the Lord took care of it. So what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful weapon that is against the forces of darkness against us. So the third way we can think about praise is that it's really a doorway to encounter God and to encounter God's attributes. You know, we think about the attributes of God through praise, and I remember, you know, I kind of embarrassed that I didn't learn this until when I was in Bible school, when I was a freshman in Bible college, and ever since then, it seems like it should have been obvious to me, but three different ways to think about the attributes of God. We've all heard of that, right? Omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. So, omnipotence, or omnipotent, as I used to try to remember myself, omnipotent. That's the limitless power of God. He has all power, not only over the physical realm, but the spiritual realm as well. He has sovereign authority over Satan and the demons. You know, James says in 2:19, he tells us that you believe that there is one God, which is good. But even the demons believe that, and they shudder. The demons know, and we know. And it's right to tremble before God because of his omnipotence. And there's nothing that he can't do. And then you start putting that in with the next one, omniscience. It's the perfect wisdom and knowledge of God. It just means really all-knowing. God is all-knowing in the sense that he is aware of the past, the present, and the future. Nothing takes him by surprise. We know that his knowledge is total. And when I think about that, I'm thinking, you know, it's just another way that maybe I need to work on my surrendering, because I'll get nervous, or maybe I'll have anxiety. I'll see something happening, and I won't get political, but let's say something in politics, or maybe I see something happening in my health, or I see something else, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I hope God knows about that. You know, maybe he missed that one. I don't know. But you don't have to think about that. He knows everything. There's nothing that gets by him. And he's always there for us, and he's always there with us. And the next one is omnipresence. Now, this is one the human mind is really hard to comprehend, is the all-encompassing presence of God. He's all-present. He means that he's capable of being everywhere at the same time. Means his divine presence encompasses the whole universe. There's no location where he does not inhabit. I was, when I was reviewing this and reminding myself of omnipresence, I was thinking when I was a kid, you know, when I was younger, the space program was kind of a big deal, you know, back in the 70s. Well, I mean, it's not that it's not a big deal now, but it was new, and you always hear a lot about it. So like a lot of kids, I used to think I would want to be an astronaut, you know, it would be great. If you could go up to space. And then, you know what, I wondered. I was a little worried. I thought, well, what if I'm up in space and the Lord comes back? I might miss it. I'm not there. You know, and so, of course, now I see, in understanding this, that it doesn't matter where I am. I could be in space or I could be somewhere else. Of course, I never made it to space, but in case you didn't know. But and also, praise also means to experience the presence of God, as we talk about his omnipresence. We want to experience his presence, and he inhabits the praises of his people. So as in Psalms 22:3, it says, Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one of it that Israel praises. Amen. The transformative presence of God through praise, 2 Chronicles 5:13, 14. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and saying, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. and the priests could not perform their services because the cloud, the glory of the Lord, filled the temple of God. It all came from the praises, and it was just so overwhelming that they couldn't continue their duties. But so what? I mean, if the presence of the Lord is there, we want to meet it. We want to be there in that moment. And if I could bring up one little highlight here, I've said this several times in several different scriptures, but something that is almost like a little something I carry with me in my mind. And you could almost say anything in front of it, but here it says, He is good, His love endures forever. Right? You could even say, He is faithful, His love endures forever. You could put any accolade or any positive thing in front of that, and it would be true. You know, His mercy endures forever. His forgiveness endures forever. So that really just jumped out to me, and it actually comes to mind quite a bit as I struggle through each day that I go through. All right. So another way that we can look at the role of praise, and we kind of mentioned it before, is the role of praise in spiritual warfare. So there's a purposeful way to do spiritual warfare. Praise and worship is done in spirit and in truth. This is going to create a protective wall around your heart. The Bible says that you overcome the enemy by the blood and the word of your testimony. Praise and worship are words of your testimony. Your testimony of God is and who you are in Him. As Revelations 2:11, they triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. So really, not only does it protect you, but it gets you to the mindset that, you know, nothing else matters. I'm praising the Lord. I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. I'm here for the Lord, whatever He wants to do in His timetable on my life is what's important. So does that say you don't fear death? I don't know. But if I was in a situation where I was fearing death, I think that would bring me to my senses and bring me to a great comfort to know that whatever happens, I'm here for the Lord and He's here with me. So another example of praise is a weapon against the enemy. We know about Jericho, the walls of Jericho. I always just remember when Ramona puts really, really good messages together for the kids. And she spends a lot of time and looks things up and has the pictures and does this thing. And I remember when she was doing Jericho about the walls falling down. So, I mean, that's a way right there. That's praise, right? Praise is a weapon against the enemy. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army marched around them for 7 days. They were obedient to the Lord, and they did what the Lord said. They marched around, and the walls fell. So you can break the chains of bondage through high praise of God. May the praise of God be in their mouths as a double-edged sword in their hands, from Psalms 149. The relationship between praise and deliverance. Well, that's good. I mean, there is. If I praised deliverance, deliverance from what? Deliverance from spiritual bondage, deliverance from my physical bondage, my physical pain. Really, any deliverance, a deliverance from spiritual attack. So, 2 Chronicles 2:22, as they begin to sing in praise, like we already mentioned about Jehoshaphat, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading, and they were defeated. So, it's always there for us. Praise is a proclamation of victory over spiritual battles. So as we just praise, we're going to praise the Lord in all things. And that can be hard sometimes. I mean, it's easy sometimes to praise the Lord when, you know, I just found $5 on the ground. You know, praise the Lord. No, $5, put it in my pocket. That's pretty easy. But what if it's another simple thing? Maybe I'm late going somewhere and I missed my bus. Can I praise the Lord for that? I think you can. Praise the Lord in all things. Because I don't know that bus might get in an accident 2 miles down the road. And He just saved me from that because He has other plans for me. So you don't want to second guess. We just want to, again, go back to surrendering and understand that I'm going to praise the Lord in all things. So, and then the fifth way we can look at praise is just living a lifestyle of praise. Consistent and joyful praise in life. So James 1, 2, and 3 says, I consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that's another aspect of it. Maybe it's not just that I missed the bus, and so therefore I'm not in the accident. But I'm going to praise the Lord. Maybe he's teaching me patience or perseverance or teaching me to, again, surrender myself and just go with what he has for me. The Lord instructs us to view our trials as pure joy, which is totally opposite from what we normally think. And they also want to recognize praise as a spiritual discipline. I was kind of mentioning that before, and I think I probably got ahead of myself, but I was thinking, you know, the spiritual discipline. I mean, the Lord loves any praise that we do, but, you know, we ask ourselves, do we set aside time to praise the Lord? I think it would be good if we had an actual time or just carved out some time in a day. And I'm guilty of that as well. You get busy, and you'll do it later. But maybe later doesn't come. And so you want to make sure you carve out some time to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord. If you develop that discipline to praise Him daily, and as we said, in good times and in bad, that's going to help us develop that perseverance and enable Him to guide us through our daily walk. And that's really what we're seeking, is just to have that faith. As we praise the Lord, that's going to develop our faith, and I can now surrender to Him, and I can start hearing what it is He has for me. What does He want me to do? How does He want me to be? And that's all I want to do. That's all we all want to do, right, as we follow the Lord. How do we get a closer walk with Him? And so, for some practical steps to help us do this daily, here's some things that I try to do. And I haven't always done this, but I boiled them down for this message, but just three things. So one would be just gratitude. You know, it's the foundation of our praise. Are we thankful for what the Lord has done for us? Do we recognize the many blessings that He's done for us? And that's a hard one. I mean, through life, because, you know, we try hard and we study or we work hard or we get up early. And in a way, in our mind, is look what I have done today. Right? I did a great job. I went out and did all these things. But really, was it me? It really wasn't me. It's the Lord that enabled me to do that. You know, some of these people, these physicists are, I don't know, think of the most intelligent type of people that you can. And they might think, what a great thing that I did. But they didn't do anything. God's the one that gave them that sharp mind for whatever purpose that God wanted them to have it. You know, think about these professional athletes. What a great thing that they do. They're strong and fast. I trained a lot, and now I am victorious. He didn't do anything. The Lord did it. Give Him the glory. And that's when you see some people do. And they'll give them the glory after a great event or something like that. But that's what we want to do. We want to give Him the glory for the big stuff, and for the little stuff, and for the stuff we don't even know is happening. So, all right, the second thing out of three is worship. So we're going to offer our whole life as an act of worship. So if you live in obedience and reverence to the Lord, this is going to project out to the world your dedication and your service of the Lord. This is a big part of your testimony. The fact that I worship the Lord, if someone sees me, you know, again, I don't do it to be seen, but if somebody knows, that's another great way to be known. A person that is not slow to worship the Lord. A person that is not shy about worshiping the Lord. Because that is a witness to the world. Other people see that and they're like, you know, I'd like to have what those guys have. I wonder why he's so happy. I wonder why she's so, you know, she's always saying praise the Lord. You know, and she seems like she means it. You know, so that's a good thing. You know, I think some people just say it offhand, but if you say it and you mean it, that's a wonderful thing. And then proclamation is just declaring the goodness of God. Just, like I said, His love endures forever. His greatness endures forever. His faithfulness endures forever. You could go on and on. In Psalms 107:1, it's, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. It would be great that we would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works with the children of man. He satisfies the longing souls and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So, in summary, I'll go ahead and say that as we explore the power of praise and that role that it plays in our journey, we have three elements that we'd like to consider. So we want to understand the true meaning of praise. This is kind of a summary of what we talked about. So when we define praise, praise is an expression of adoration, reverence, gratitude towards our God. It involves knowledge of His greatness. We proclaim His mighty works and we exalt His name. We also, as we're trying to understand the true meaning of praise, We know that praise is an act of obedience. And so throughout Scripture, we are commanded to praise God continually. Obedience in praising Him demonstrates our trust and submission to His authority. And also, we praise as a response to God's character. As we deeply understand who God is, His holiness, His faithfulness, and His love, our hearts are moved to praise Him. Then our praise aligns our hearts with God's divine nature. And then I would also say that that's where that worship part comes in, how it's involved in praise. And I praise the Lord, and now I'm rolling into worshiping the Lord for just who He is. He doesn't have to do anything to get my praise into my worship. It's just who He is. He is deserving of praise and worship. The third element we think about is the benefits of praise. So, praise magnifies God. So there's always, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the main reason we're here. When we engage in heartfelt praise, we place the spotlight solely on God. It shifts the focus from our problems to His power and ensures that He is the center of our life. And that's what I'm thinking about. Looks like my bills are going to be late this week. I wonder what I can do about that. Well, you know what? I probably can't do much about it. Maybe I can pray about it. Maybe that's what I should do. Give it to the Lord and have that just ingrained in myself, that I don't take that upon myself, because we can't carry the burden. It's just going to beat us down and take our eyes off the Lord. He wants to give Him the burden of these worries and these things that are getting in our way. And praise unlocks God's presence. The Bible ensures that He inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise God, we invite His presence into our lives, which brings us comfort and guidance and deliverance. Also, praise will strengthen our faith. Helps us to remember His goodness and His faithfulness in our lives. Our trust in Him will grow. And it reminds us of His sovereignty and keeps us anchored, as we talked about last week, anchored to His promises, even in times of hardship. And finally, praise defeats the enemy. Praise is a powerful weapon against the enemy's schemes. Just as the walls of Jericho fell down when God's people shouted praise, our praise weakens the grasp of the enemy and sets us free from bondage. And amen to that, because we can't do it ourselves. And then the third way that we can think about praise is that we want to cultivate the lifestyle of praise. Praise through worship as a church, as a group. It's an opportunity to join with fellow believers and praise God and strengthen each other as we praise God together. But we should actively engage in worship, lifting our voices and our hearts to glorify our Savior. Of course, we praise God when we're by ourselves. We praise God through prayer. We want to get into the habit of praising God in our personal prayer time. You know, it's so wonderful. Sometimes you pray and, I'll be very open. You pray and it's like, I feel like maybe my prayers are not getting through the glass ceiling or getting through the roof. I'm blocked, but this is a great reminder that when you begin your prayers with words of thanksgiving and acknowledgement, just adoring the Lord, that seems to break through, just kind of blows a hole in whatever roof is over you, and you can really, really kind of spend that time, quality time with the Lord. And praising us also, we want to praise through gratitude. We've already mentioned that. We want to express gratitude for all the blessings and provisions, no matter how big or small. A thankful heart is a praising heart. And, I think about it. We're so visual as humans. What did I see happen? Or what did I, maybe audio, what did I hear happen? But how many things are going on behind the scenes that are setting your course straight? How many things is God working out through other people or through other mechanisms that are making the way for you? These are things you want to praise the Lord about, things that we don't even know are happening. We just trust that the Lord has our best interest in mind, and His path is the path that we want to follow. He's going to do far better than what I can come up with. All right, and then also, which is very powerful, is just praising through the Word. The Lord really loves that, I believe, when we quote and pray the Scriptures. How powerful is that? When you speak the different Scriptures, that's God's goodness, His mercy, and His faithfulness. We speak them aloud as an act of praise, and that reinforces our foundation in our heart. So in conclusion, I would just say that we do greatly benefit when we embrace the power and purpose of praise. As we magnify our Lord and Savior, our praises we will experience His transformative presence, His mighty deliverance, and victorious breakthroughs in every area of our lives. I would suggest that we must commit ourselves to cultivate and embrace a lifestyle of praise, regardless of our circumstances or our emotions. When we do that, we'll find ourselves immersed in the beauty of God's presence, forever changed. His love will give us liberation to walk in His perfect will. It is to God's honor that the melody of praise will respond throughout our lives, drawing others closer to the heart of our Heavenly Father. And we want to take with us today, as we go back to our lives outside of this place, we take with us a renewed passion to give thanks and sing hallelujahs to the Lord, declare the goodness of our Almighty God. We want our praise to be a sweet offering, pleasing to the ears of our magnificent Savior. And I'll go into a sidetrack here. You know, the Lord, all of our prayers and our praises, the Lord keeps before Him as a sweet offering. And they're there even now. I would just hope that I could fill up that container, whatever it is. And I know I have a long way to go. But if I could just keep remembering that, makes me always want to sing the praises of the Lord. And remember that it's not confined, just to us being here together. We take it with us. It's a lifelong journey. As we continue to explore the depths of praise, there will always be more to discover, more to experience, but that's what's going to be revealed by God and develop our walk with Him. So I would just say, if you haven't had an opportunity to walk with the Lord or to meet the Lord, you know, now is your opportunity just to reach out and just accept Him for who He is and ask Him to be the Lord of your life and tell Him that you will now follow and ask for Him to help you to follow Him and to be a disciple and just to transform your life to be pleasing unto the Lord. And you can do that right where you are. You can do that down front in this church or another church. But just do it is what I would say. Don't let any more time go by. Today is the day. It needs to be done. But I trust that you'll make that decision. And I do pray that the Lord bless you and keep you and go with you throughout the week. And return you back with us so we can meet again next week, if the Lord is willing. And then we will see you then. So thank you and once again, and bless you from Living Waters Church here in Casa Grande. Amen. All right. Do we have any... Now, I know Pastor Holsey likes to do this, and so I will do the same. Do we have anything that you've not had a chance to think about? We had our prayer requests in the beginning, and the Lord heard our prayers, but if you have a special request or something that came to mind, maybe, during the message, that you'd like to pray about, let us know. We'll all pray together. And it's okay if we don't, because we can pray on our own. But I just want to give that opportunity. So, all right.